like plants.
Gladiolas.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want
let
is to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living without any fuss.
Us.
Water, sun, and air.
And
are all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
It's Garden Talk, hour number two. I'm Steve Garner, along with Dr. Rachel Spaeth. Welcome back to the show. Maybe you went somewhere, grabbed another cup of coffee or tea, and nice to have you back, or you're just joining us for hour number two. Thanks for listening to the radio this morning. 707-636-1350. If you would like to chat with Dr. Rachel Spaeth, she can answer your questions. She's been doing the show for a few years. Previous to that, she was the curator for our beloved Luther Burbank Gardens in downtown Santa Rosa, in charge of all the plant curation, all the volunteers, making sure the plants were healthy and diagnosing diseases. She's an entomologist. That means she's an expert in bugs and fungal problems. Also taught horticulture at the Santa Rosa Junior College. And her current posting is as research horticulturist at the National Clonal Germplasm Repository. She's the curator for the entire Prunus collection in Winters, California, of course, part of the UC Davis organization. So she's got a lot. You got a lot of orchards to manage, don't you?
I sure do have a lot of orchards to manage.
You can reach her 707-636-1350. Luckily, we didn't have to hold anyone over from our number one. Starting fresh, nobody on hold, which is great. 707-636-1350. Or if you'd like to reach Dr. Spaeth via email, you can send her a photo. Don't need to send her a photo, but it certainly helps diagnose an insect problem, a fungal problem, wilting issues. Maybe you'd like a plant ID'd. Maybe you'd like some suggestions about a landscape solution that you're looking for. Any and all questions, she has the answers. That's Steve at KSRO.com. Would love to hear from you either way. Coming up on the Good Food Hour today, let me be the first to wish you a happy International Blueberry Muffin Day, number one. We will be exploring the world of blueberries today. We have a great John Ash blueberry recipe package that John posted a couple of years ago. We're reposting that this morning. Emily Ash Lamb, my co-host this morning, will be talking blueberries with the one and only Dawn Richards, who is the proud proprietress of the Mad Batter Bakery. You gotta love that name, don't you?
That's a great name for
it. It's a wholesale bakery in Santa Rosa, provides a lot of baked goods for a lot of different coffee shops, and she really knows her muffins. We'll be talking with Dawn at 11:15 this morning. And then at 11:30, we'll be talking to Anna Stockwell, that has written the Butter Book, and you can't have a great muffin
without butter.
And Anna will be speaking to us from the East Coast about this brand new book. And what do you think of the design element of this book, Rachel?
This book is fantastic. It is such a creative way to make a book jacket that also looks like a stick of butter.
It looks just like
a stick. It doesn't just look like a stick of butter. It feels like a stick of butter as well. Like the shiny, waxy.
Yes.
It's they've really done their due diligence to create a very unique and creative just
package.
I mean, they say you can't judge a book by its cover. But if you're looking at this cover, This is the book for butter.
It's very enticing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
Anyway, Anna Stockwell will be the guest this morning. We'll start off this morning with Emily's opinions about unruly kids in restaurants. Oh. Emily, if you don't know, has spent 30-plus years in the hospitality trade, managing the front-of-the-house operations for many restaurants, from New York to Los Angeles to San Francisco. She's a master of working through customer issues.
Yes.
And there was a great article. I don't know if any of you saw this. It was on the Wire this week about a restaurateur that has charged unruly customers and their kids for damages in the restaurant. We'll get some feedback from Emily this morning. 707-636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. this morning, and we hope you'll stick around for the Good Food Hour with Emily Ashlam and me this morning. To the calls we go. We have Jerry from Santa Rosa who'd like a word with you about an avocado issue. Hi, Jerry. Welcome to Garden Talk.
Good morning. Good information you guys are handing out here. I was wondering, I threw a couple of pits in my garden, avocado pits, and they seem to be sprouting.
Uh-huh.
But I thought, can I expect any avocados out of them?
Oh, that's a really great question. Are they just avocados that you bought at the store?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So avocados are pretty interesting to grow. We can grow them somewhat here in Sonoma County, but some of the varieties that we get just at the store grow more well in Southern California because we just get a little bit too cold. So the first thing is, you got to make sure that it's in like the perfect little like nano climate of your space. We have some really huge avocado trees in downtown Santa Rosa, and they all have some similar features to them. They're all really close to buildings, or they're surrounded by pavement. The cool thing about avocados is that their root structure doesn't tear up sidewalks or driveways. So having it next to pavement where it's going to keep those roots warm in the wintertime and a little protected maybe by the side of a garage or the side of your house. There's a couple like in the like business district even part of Santa Rosa where they're just surrounded by stucco buildings and all of those buildings are providing reflected heat. So that it can make it through the wintertime. So that's kind of the first thing, is just making sure that they're in a space where they can survive our winters. The second thing is that avocados have two different types of flowers. They have an A type of flowers and a B type of flowers. And they are ready at two different times of day. So one will have female flowers that are open in the morning and male flowers in the afternoon. And the other is the inverse of that. And I can never remember which is which, whether the A has the females ripe in the morning or the A has the females ripe in the afternoon. But usually you need two different varieties of avocados to get a really good fruit set. You might have enough variability in your seeds that you just started out there, because they're going to have a little genetic variation that you might end up with ones that are like that. The other good news about avocados is that they're graftable. So I only have one avocado in my yard, but I have six different kinds of avocados grafted onto that one tree because I don't have enough space for six avocado trees, but I want to get avocados. So grafting those different varieties onto the same trunk makes it so that you are more likely to have both A and B type flowers on your tree, and then you'll have it in the right space. So I would be hopeful that you could possibly get avocados on it. The other thing is you can speed up your amount of time to actually getting fruit on those by grafting more mature something onto it. So as a seed, when you start that avocado, it's going to take your tree a considerable amount of time to be mature enough to get flowers on it, like maybe 6 or 8 years. Which is a long time to wait. But if you get a mature stick, even from one of the avocados we have around downtown Santa Rosa, and graft it on top of it, you can really drastically speed that time up to maybe 2 or 3 years until you get fruit.
Is it a misdemeanor for me to grab a branch off of it?
So that is a great question, and one that is incredibly valid. Most of these trees are in public spaces. If you do see that it's in somebody's yard or on private property, My grandmother taught me that it's okay to knock on somebody's door and tell them something about their plant and then ask them for a stick. And so I do that. And if they say no, then I don't take a stick. But if they say yes, which a lot of times they do, then I collect a stick and thank them for their sample.
Well, I mean, first of all, you're admiring their plant.
You start with the flattery.
This is a beautiful plant you have.
Yes.
And then you get into your pitch.
And then you get into the pitch. Right, exactly. If you start with a, wow, I can't help but admire this gorgeous thing that you have in your yard. Would you mind if I had a stick?
And didn't we all stick the toothpicks into avocado pits as a kid?
Absolutely.
I did. I mean, well, you took forever. We ran out of interest before we ever got any avocados. But it's theoretically possible. And people do this. They wait
the
five, six, 7 years.
Yeah.
Would you just snap it off, or do you have to make a certain kind of cut? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So avocados, when you graft them, they're a little more herbaceous than a lot of the other things that we graft. So it's easier to cut through with your knife, and a lot of people will even use like a utility knife or a box cutter or X-Acto knife or something like that. And you just want to cut like a really long angled cut, and then you want to cut the same kind of cut to match it onto your rootstock. So your scion is the top part and your rootstock is what you have in the ground, and then line those two up, and I would wrap it with like a parafilm is what I use. It's like a waxy film coating, but for a general home grower, I know people that even use freezer tape or electrical tape. You just have to make sure you come back and make that to cut it off, because otherwise it'll end up girdling that branch.
You just want it really, really
tight together. Yeah.
It's just trying to draw the sap out of the
you got
the existing tree. Is that what it's doing? Okay.
Yep.
Great.
You got it.
Yeah,
and
I thought if I see a tree and I grab a branch and run,
well, Officer Rachel Spade, Dr. Spade told me to do this.
Okay. If you are intending to collect a branch from a friend or neighbor or a person that you've talked to, or a public location where the tree just happens to have branches that are available, I would have a moist paper towel that you can wrap the base of that with. You'll cut off all the leaves because you don't want it to be trying to evapotranspirate. You don't want it to be losing a lot of moisture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just keep it a little bit damp and cool. You could keep it in your refrigerator until you're ready to put it onto your sticker if you have a cooler in your car. So I would have a cooler in my car with a Ziploc baggie and a moist paper towel and a friendly smile, and knock on a person's door and say, wow, you have a gorgeous tree. Do you mind if I have a stick? And then they would say, hopefully, yes. And then you could cut that branch and put it in your baggie with your moist paper towel in your cooler until you get home. And that should keep it from getting too stressed out before you
try
to put
it on.
But
is this the time to do it in the heat of the summer?
You know, it's not a today is going to be really warm.
This
tomorrow is going to be really warm. This coming week, I would probably wait until we're back down into our like 80s
70s.
Temperatures. Mm-hmm. But we do want it to be warm. Oh. It is a thing that we graft in the summertime instead of in the wintertime,
because
they just don't have the right amount of sap flow in the wintertime, and they can get too cold and fall off.
Unlike when we do our fruit tree grafting.
Right. Yeah, okay. So avocado is more of a summery type of graft.
Well, does that give you some hope and guidance, Jerry?
It sure does.
Oh, good. There's quite a few YouTube videos out there, too, of people grafting avocados.
Oh, there are YouTube videos of that.
Yeah, okay. If you're into that sort of thing, you could do a little bloom scrolling on that and
check
out some videos.
Thanks, Jerry.
Great. One quick other question.
Yeah.
Moment. I've got some lemon trees. And they lost their flowers. I don't know if it was because of that early or late rain, but I'm not getting any fruit as a result. You know what happened?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it was probably the uneven watering. So we had that big rainstorm, which was a lot of water after not having a little bit of water. And just from the uneven watering, that's their response. It's like, I guess I don't need flowers now. I'll just grow for a while. You could give it some bloom food a little bit later on in the season. I would let it kind of get nice and lush for the rest of the summer here, and then as we start rolling into fall, start giving it some bloom food, something that's low in nitrogen and higher in potassium and phosphorus, and that'll encourage another flush of flowering for you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet, Jerry. Good luck with that avocado and keep us in the loop.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe if we're still around in 6-7 years, we'll be having guacamole from Jerry's tree. 707-636-1350. We have Jerry's line available now. If you'd like a comment, question Dr. Rachel Spaeth about anything in your yard or garden that's growing, not to your satisfaction, or, you know, it's okay to brag. If you've got something right, really great,
yeah,
we'd love to hear about that also. Hey, Dr. Spaeth, I've been trying to grow this, fill in the blank, for years, and all of a sudden, I've got this, and I'm going to share a photo with you. Please do. Steve at KSRO.com is the email to reach Dr. Spaeth, or even better, chat with her. She is really encouraging and highly informative. 707-636-1350.
Listen to Dr. Walter Tom the first Thursday of the month on KSRO's Ask the Expert series from 12:30 to 1. Dr. Walter Tom has been voted the best cosmetic surgeon every year since 2016. His mission is to improve patient self-confidence by enhancing their self-image with advanced technology in a warm and safe environment. Listen to podcasts of the show on KSRO.com. Just click on Ask the Expert. Tune in the first Thursday of the month for Ask the Expert with Dr. Walter Tom on KSRO.
When it comes to your home, comfort and efficiency matter more than ever, especially now with all the new regulations changing how gas water heaters are installed here in California.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we're stepping up for homeowners.
If your water heater is getting up there in age, now is the perfect time to look at smart, energy-efficient electric options.
Totally. We've got everything from modern electric water heaters to those high-efficiency heat pump systems that keep you ahead of the curve, save energy, and help you avoid future headaches.
And if you're thinking about going electric beyond just the water heater...
Oh, we've got you covered. EV charging stations for your home, electrical panel upgrades, whatever you need to make sure your system can handle today's demands.
And the best part, you're working with a trusted local company that knows Sonoma County homes inside and out.
Whether you're upgrading, replacing, or just planning ahead, start with the pros who do it right the first time.
Call 707 Plumbers and Electric today or visit us online to schedule your estimate.
And now, you know what time it is.
707 Plumbers and Electric.
Don't miss Brawl for All, July 18th at Herzog Hall in Petaluma, featuring local and regional boxers, including fighters from A&B Boxing in Petaluma, all fighting for a chance at the Olympic trials. Brawl for All is a USA Boxing-sanctioned event, up close, high energy, and fun for all ages. Limited seating, so get your tickets now at NorthBayKnockout.com. General seating, $25. VIP, only $65. Doors at noon, first bout at 1. Powered by Eagle Distributing. Tickets at NorthBayKnockout.com. Brawl for All.
Does anyone even listen to the radio anymore?
You're listening right now, aren't you? And you aren't the only one. Every week, our stations reach over 200,000 people in Sonoma County.
When you use radio to advertise, local is everything. You want as many local ears on your message as possible. And when you advertise with us at locally owned Sonoma Media Group, we can target your ad to every demographic from teens to seniors.
Our local radio stations have dedicated audiences who listen regularly. When you advertise consistently, you're building a customer base and brand recognition that over time will increase your revenue and build your business.
Our marketing and creative teams are ready to help you create effective radio and digital messages that'll convert listeners into customers.
When the need arises for your services, make sure it's your business the listener remembers.
Sonoma Media Group has your marketing strategy covered with radio, digital, and print advertising. Learn more at Sonoma Media Group.
News, talk, community, KSRO.
Before we take our next email question, I was mentioning that today, of course, is International Blueberry Muffin Day, and we're doing a partial show on the Good Food Hour devoted to exploring great things you can do with blueberries, including muffins. Do you grow blueberries, Dr. Spaeth, in Santa Rosa?
I do. I have a blueberry bush. It is grown in a container. In that container, it is 50% acid-loving soil mix, like you would buy for azaleas or something like that, and 50% Christmas tree.
Christmas tree what?
Like just ground up Christmas tree. And that's how I get the pH to be really low, like the blueberries. But my parents actually grow.
Well, let's stop. Back in Christmas, did you grind up your Christmas tree? How did you get Christmas tree?
Well, you know, at New Year's.
You did?
Yeah, after the Christmas tree is done.
How did you grind it up?
Oh, I mean, we just shredded the needles off.
Oh, you shredded. I got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the whole tree.
No, not the whole trunk. Mostly just the needles. Yeah.
So that's the ideal environment for your blueberry bush.
Yeah, very, very acidic.
And how's it been doing? How old is it?
Oh, it's maybe 4 or 5 years. I got 2 handfuls of blueberries off of it this year.
2 handfuls?
2 handfuls, yeah. Huh. Not enough to make muffins, but, you know, enough to snack while you're in the yard pulling weeds.
Throw in your yogurt in the morning for breakfast?
Absolutely.
And how do they taste?
They are very concentrated in their flavor.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so they are a low bush.
Low bush.
A low bush variety, yeah.
And do you remember, is there a specific varietal that does better in Sonoma County?
That's a really great question. A lot of blueberries are much higher chill than what we have here. Which can be quite unfortunate. Like, my parents grow blueberries back east in Pennsylvania, and they have huge bushes that they have to protect from the bears, and they are just...
Wait, you just skirted over that.
Oh, yes.
Not from the deer.
Well, they have them netted from the deer and the birds as well, but really it's the bears that'll get in and cause the most destruction.
It's not a laughing
big black
matter.
Bears. Well, they're in a really rural community, so, you know, they'll take urban bears... And they relocate urban bears to rural communities. And my hometown is only 0.9 miles wide, and there's only 3,000 people in the whole county. So it's the ideal location for a relocation of bears.
So did you grow up seeing bears?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
That seems to be unnerving to me to think about. Did they get close to your house ever?
Oh, yeah. You have to lock on your garbage can lids. Uh-huh. Yeah, only put the garbage cans out when it's ready to be garbage time, because it will be strewn about.
So blueberry loving bears is not something the cartoons always talk about. They really do go after blueberries.
They love blueberries.
And what do you do to prevent them from completely decimating your crop?
So you can use an electric fence.
Oh.
An electric fence works pretty. There's pretty easy ones that you can use that are solar powered electric fences that
That's
have
effective.
A little battery storage. Yeah, they'll give them a little zap and they'll move on to something else.
So your grandma and mom are not harvesting 2 handfuls of blueberries.
No, they are harvesting 5-gallon ice cream buckets full of gigantic quarter-sized blueberries, huge, impressive.
Wait, say 5-gallon buckets?
5-gallon buckets.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they just
That's
go out exciting. With their little ice cream buckets and they sit on their stool and they listen to good music and pick and pick and pick and pick.
And you're saying it's because of the chill factor? Is that really important?
Yeah, they have the chill factor. Blueberries are native to the North Americas, mm-hmm. and especially that part of the back east. So, and then indigenous people called them starberries because they have a little star on the bottom of them.
There are some blueberry farms here in Sonoma County, commercial.
Definitely.
The Duckworth one out on Canfield Road in Sebastopol. Mm-hmm. Actually, they're doing a blueberry picking today, and they're scooping homemade blueberry ice cream out there.
Delicious.
But you have to do it in advance. You can't just go out there. And we have a long history. Bruce Goetz, the Sebastopol Blueberry Farm from 25, 30 years ago. A lot of people have dabbled in trying to make a go of it, and they do for a few years, and then it's hard.
It's hard to do blueberries here, yeah. But they probably do a low bush variety it doesn't require quite as much chill. The berries don't get quite as large, but they have really great flavor.
Okay. Well, thank you for that blueberry update. Mm-hmm. Hi, Dr. Spaeth. Good morning, Steve. Here's something special for Dr. Spaeth, who exclaimed her pleasure at looking at this fungi. It's like a horror film. So are those regular flies eating up the fungi or what? And what is this sweet-looking beetle crawling around in support of insects? Best Debbie. So here's the photo, and you mentioned that Debbie also sent you a video?
Yeah, Debbie sent us this wonderful video that has this, it looks putrid. And if you were to get close to it and smell it, it would smell putrid as well.
You mean this bug?
No, no. Oh. In the video that she sent. So the video has it looks like a lattice, and it's like it looks kind of like it'd be meat, like funky meat.
It does.
Yeah, and it smells really bad. It's called a stinkhorn fungus.
Stinkhorn fungus,
mm-hmm. Yes. And the flies that she has flying around it are very iridescent and green and shiny, and they're called a green bottle fly, and they are a fly that specializes in eating carrion. So they are attracted rotting. To the smell of the rotting from the fungus, and they are going and they're going to lay their eggs on that fungus. Their larva will eat the fungus.
Got it.
But I like to say the flies don't lie. So that's when maybe you can't smell something, but you see that species of fly, you know something dead is in the area. So it could be rat. It could be a bird got her, or your cat got, or something like that. Or it could be something like the stinkhorn fungus that has that same, I don't know if it's a pheromone necessarily that it's sending out, but it's something that's going to attract those flies. The flies will move their spores to a different location for that fungus, and then their larva will eat that fungus as a nutrition source.
So did she plant this intentionally, the stinkhorn fern?
I don't think anybody plants the stinkhorn fungus on purpose. Mm-hmm. But it just...
Oh, I thought I said fern. It was fungus.
Fungus.
Stinkhorn fungus.
Yes, right. Stinkhorn fungus. I don't think anybody plants them on purpose, but they do just kind of grow, and you can find them in places. And a lot of times you'll smell it before you see it. You're like, oh,
yeah, no one
smells
would do
like
that.
Somebody
no
one vomited plant over that. Here or something.
Okay, and, you don't want to bring that home and put that
yeah,
in.
Yeah, you know.
Maybe some people do, but not most.
If you don't like your neighbors.
Now get back to the beetle that I'm looking at. And it's terrifying looking.
Oh, okay, so this is it looks rather large, like maybe the size of your thumbnail.
Yeah. Oh,
pretty
is that
big.
All?
Pretty big.
Oh, I guess.
Or thumb. It could be a little bit bigger
I'm
than that. Maybe it's your thumb to your
up
knuckle.
Up against the beetle on the screen.
Yeah.
Here.
I see the, there's like some wild oats next to it, and I see those seeds on the wild oats, and it looks like maybe it's twice as long or maybe three times as long as the seed on the wild oats.
I see.
So that's why I'm judging by my thumb here, too. It has two yellow stripes, one up by its head and one down by its abdomen. It has two wings that I can see that are folded over its back, and they are black. This is a bumblebee. And it's a native bumblebee. It's a good bumblebee.
It's not a beetle.
It's not a beetle, but the interesting thing about calling it a beetle, there are beetle lookalikes that would look like this bee. And the way that you would tell them apart is their eyes. So the eyes on a bumblebee are kind of elliptic, and they kind of go around to the front of the face. I can only see the side of the eye on this particular picture. And then the other thing is that the wings are membranous. They're not hard.
Got it.
So beetles have two wings, one that's hard on the top, and then a second set that they fold underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about that is when people were studying how to fold parachutes, they actually observed how beetles fold their wings underneath their carapace to get inspiration for the origami of how they're going to fold a parachute into a backpack.
Look to the beetle.
Nature already solved that problem, right? So since this has membranous wings and not hard wings, that's another thing that puts it in the bee category.
And what is the name of this bee?
So it is a bumblebee, and I can't quite tell. I'd have to look really, really closely. It's either going to be a two-striped bumblebee or Bombus californica, which is California bumblebee.
Wow, do you think most of us have seen these in our backyards? Are they common?
They are kind of common, but not super common. I mean, if you have, they're less common because of habitat fragmentation. But if you have pea flowers in your yard, or they like to kind of like, they're the kind of bee that likes to get into something and wiggle around and buzz in there to get the pollen out. So you'll see them on milkweed flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And alliums, so like onion flowers. They're kind of a generalist that'll get pollen from a lot of different things. I see them on my snapdragons at home a lot.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
So let's repeat. There's a lot of information in this video and photo that Debbie sent. Number one, she's looking at a fungus, and it's called a stinkhorn fungus.
Correct.
She's also looking at a bumblebee, this large black creature. It's not a beetle.
Not a beetle, yeah.
And then what else did you identify within this?
Oh, the green bottle flies.
The green bottle flies.
The green bottle flies. There's also blue bottle flies. Both of them are attracted to carrion.
Got it. So something is decaying.
Yes, nearby. Which is the stinkhorn fragrance.
Ah, that's it.
Yep.
Okay.
Whew. That was a lot of information. Debbie, these are great pictures and videos. Thank you for sending these to us.
Thank you, Debbie. That was a real incredible lesson that you gave us, Dr. Spaeth. 707-636-1350 if you would like to chat with Dr. Rachel Spaeth about any gardening question. And believe me, it doesn't have to be this involved or technical. Just what's eating my petunias or why do my tomatoes look lousy? You can send us a photo and Dr. Spaeth will diagnose and give you the antidote for what ails you. You could also talk to her, which is really great, 707-636-1350. Highly entertaining conversation is completely promised to you. Or, as I mentioned, shoot her an email, steve@ksro.com.
Your home for news, weather, traffic, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk. KSRO Santa Rosa.
Hi, Jody Cohen from Sonoma Cutlery, inviting you to stop fighting your food. Get your knives professionally sharpened at our new location across from SRJC. Drop off your knives and pick them up a few days later, or call ahead for a VIP appointment to get your sharpening done while you wait. Scissors and pruning shears, too. We can also personalize your knives with custom engraving. Sonoma Cutlery across the street from SRJC. Sharpening details and more at SonomaCutlery.com.
Join the celebration as Shutterbug Camera Shops marks 58 amazing years of serving photographers throughout the North Bay. You're invited to the 58th anniversary event on Saturday, July 18th from 10 to 6. It's a full day packed with free classes, live demonstrations, raffle prizes, a photo contest, exclusive one-day-only anniversary specials, and vendor representatives ready to answer your questions and show you the latest gear. Learn something new with classes on videography, a hands-on lighting workshop, how to photograph hot air balloons, and Polaroid emulsion transfers. Have cameras or lenses collecting dust? The experts from Cash 4 Cameras will be on site buying used camera equipment. Whether you're just getting started or you're a lifelong photographer, there's something for everyone. Thank you for 58 incredible years. Celebrate with a team at Shutterbug Camera Shops Saturday, July 18th from 10 to 6. Shutterbug Camera Shops on Santa Rosa Avenue and online at shutterbugcamershops.com.
Our pets aren't just pets, they're family. And at Big Wolf Pets, they're treated that way. Big Wolf Pets has everything to keep tails wagging and whiskers twitching. And the best part? You can shop anytime, anywhere. Visit BigWoofPets.com and get your pet's favorite things delivered right to your door. Big Wolf is a small local business in Lafayette. So when you're in the neighborhood, bring your pet and say hi. Support small business. Visit BigWoofPets.com. Big Wolf Pets, because our pets deserve the best.
If you're remodeling an existing kitchen or bathroom, Cabinets 101 in Rohnert Park is your local diamond-certified company. With a huge selection of quality wood cabinets, stainless and porcelain sinks, quartz and granite countertops to suit any kitchen or bathroom. Here's another satisfied Cabinets 101 customer.
Hi, my name is June Taylor. After having an unfortunate counter-installation experience with a different company, I went to see Stan at Cabinets 101. My experience with Cabinets 101 couldn't have been more different. Stan listened to me. He found exactly what I was looking for, and he and his team matched the design perfectly. My new countertops are beautiful, and I'm happy to recommend Stan and Cabinets 101 to everyone.
0% interest, limited term financing available. Bring in your project measurements, and Cabinets 101 will even give you a free estimate on your project. Stop by the Cabinets 101 showroom today at 5665 Redwood Drive in Rohnert Park.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following a partly cloudy and cool overnight, we can look to a mix of sunshine and clouds to give us daytime highs in the high 80s and low 90s. Later this evening, generally cloudy skies should leave us with overnight lows in the high 50s and low 60s. Looking ahead, this current warming trend is expected to run through at least Friday. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
Thank you.
from West County. Let's head over to Sebastopol. Lucas would like a word with Dr. Rachel Spaeth. Lucas, welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you guys. Hey, I've got a question regarding worms. And what we heard about these things called jumping worms. We are looking at garden stuff on YouTube, and they had a segment on there about these jumping worms that are appearing in certain states. Oregon was one of them. And they do damage to the soil rather than being beneficial like our good worms. They said they turn the soil into kind of a gritty, I don't know, I guess it's their casting or something, but they turn it into this gritty mess, and it's not beneficial. And I just wondered if anyone in Sonoma County has heard about that yet, or has anyone heard about them coming our way? And the other question about worms is screw worms. Mm-hmm. Screw worms are a parasite that bore into livestock, and they get into people as well. But once they get in there, they go straight for the organs. I mean, they're a parasite, and they will go to your organs, and they're supposed to be devastating.
Well, Lucas has really opened a can of worms, Dr. Spaeth.
So
why don't you comment? Do we have these jumping worms in Sonoma County?
Yes. We have had jumping worms in Sonoma County since 2023, so a couple of years. They haven't reached like that threshold of like super emergency yet, but if you think that you've found one, it's a good idea to take it to the Ag Commissioner's office over there by the airport. Because they can do the solid identification for you on that. And you're right. It does make the soil like a gritty texture, kind of like the texture of like coffee grounds instead of that good kind of stuff that we're used to with our earthworm castings and our earthworm frass.
So these can really be destructive, correct?
Yeah, they can be pretty destructive. I don't know if we've reached the point of where it's like causing a lot of economic damage here, but they can really rapidly deplete leaf litter and reduce other beneficial organisms that you have in your soil. So, but it is definitely difficult to detect and hard to diagnose. So they will probably continue to spread throughout California, but it would be a good idea if you think that you might have found one of those to take it to the Ag Commissioner's office over there on, is it Airway?
Or Airport?
Airport, yeah, no. Airport Boulevard.
Or is it, Airway, I think is the, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Airport or Airway, we'll have to find out.
Yeah, what were you saying there, Luke?
If you're able to find, if you weren't finding any in your garden, what would you do to try to eradicate them?
Yeah, that's anything. A really great question. So they might have some recommendations for that with the Ag Commissioner's office. I would think some of the things that I cause, that I call worm burners, would include things like, well, diatomaceous earth could do lacerations to their sides. So that might be helpful as an organic treatment. There's also, I know there's a lot of I don't know what the right word is about it, but Epsom salts. There's a lot of things that people have utilized Epsom salts for in the past, and I always called it a worm burner specifically because it penetrates their skin and it causes them to dry out. So maybe an Epsom salts treatment would not hurt your plants necessarily, but it might impact those. They might also impact other worms that you have in your yard, but if these guys are pushing the helpful worms out of your ecosystem anyways, it would probably behoove you to use that level of intervention.
And what about maybe borax, too? Would that tend to drive them away? Or
the borax might, I mean, just because it is like a drying out kind of crystal product, and that would have low impact on other things. You might end up with a little bit of pH raising in a micro area, but I think that if that were economically viable for your purposes, that might be effective. That's a good question.
Or maybe just stay away from borax and not use it. Anyway, thank you for that. I 2 years ago, I got a whole lot of horse manure that I brought home and I put in my garden, and it was loaded with worms. Mm-hmm. And I was really amazed this year as I was digging in the garden doing my planting. I was pulling up handfuls of worms, and I had to keep apologizing to them, like, oh, man, I hope I didn't chop you in half.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
But that's, anyway, once you get the good worms in there, they seem to really thrive.
Uh-huh.
Well, you're fortunate.
What about screw worms? What have you heard about those?
Oh, we have to take a break really fast, but I will address screw worms when we come back, if you don't mind.
Do you want to hold for a second?
Sure, I'll hold on.
Okay, we'll put you on hold. We'll be right back. Screw worms, coming up next. But there's plenty of time for you to get in with a question for Dr. Rachel Spaeth, 707-636-1350, or steve@ksro.com. Any gardening question is welcome.
It's Saturday, the sun's out, your favorite pool lounger's ready, but the water in your pool just doesn't look right. Before you waste your weekend guessing at chemicals, call the award-winning PCS Pool Chemical Service. PCS does the testing and maintenance so you can just enjoy your pool. No more wasted weekends, just clear, healthy water. PCS Pool Chemical Service, poolchemservice.com. Call today. New customers get 20% off their first month of pool cleaning. Poolchemservice.com.
Lock them in.
Wow, thanks. I'm totally locked in. Woohoo!
That's the sound of another Happy Love Car Wash customer who's getting unlimited washes at a locked-in rate of just $34.99 a month.
I'm locked in for life.
As long as you remain an active member, your rate will never change. And that's true love, our top-tier membership. Available at Love Car Wash locations in Santa Rosa, Ronard Park, American Canyon, Ukiah, and coming soon to Cotati and Healdsburg.
Right now at Love Car Wash, lock in unlimited top-tier true love washes for just $34.99 a month. Includes access to all Love locations, dedicated member lanes for less waiting, and complimentary tools. Free vacuums, premium shine, unlimited washes. Locations in Santa Rosa, Ronert Park, American Canyon, and Ukiah. Coming soon to Cotati and Healdsburg. Visit LUVCarWash.com. LUVCarWash.com. Get locked in today.
Zappelli's Auto Body and Collision stands for trust, family, and quality collision repair in Sonoma County.
Hi, I'm Samantha Zappelli. My father started our family legacy in 1958. For almost seven decades, my family has been proudly serving Sonoma County.
And I'm Samantha's daughter, Brooke. As a third generation, I am proud to continue the Zappelli tradition. We keep the repair process simple and the standard high with competitive prices. All repairs are performed by certified technicians, and we work with every insurance company. For us, it's not just about the vehicles. It's about the integrity we put into everything we do.
For 67 years, families have trusted Zappelli's Auto Body to get them safely back on the road. And when your vehicle is ready, not only will it look great, but you'll also get peace of mind because every repair is backed by a lifetime warranty.
Zappelli's Auto Body, 4914 Sonoma Highway, online at ZappelliAutoBody.com. And remember, California law protects your right to choose the shop you trust. Zappelli's Auto Body, generations strong.
Our pets aren't just pets, they're family. And at Big Wolf Pets, they're treated that way. Big Wolf Pets has everything to keep tails wagging and whiskers twitching. And the best part, you can shop anytime, anywhere. Visit BigWoofPets.com and get your pet's favorite things delivered right to your door. Big Wolf is a small local business in Lafayette. So when you're in the neighborhood, bring your pet and say hi. Support small business. Visit BigWoofPets.com. Big Wolf Pets, because our pets deserve the best.
News, talk, community, KSRO.
Lucas from Sebastopol brought to our attention the issues with jumping worms, which are in Sonoma County. And Dr. Spaeth, you gave us couple different ways of dealing with them, but also he had a follow-up question about screw worms. What can you tell us about those, Rachel?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We're going to go back to the jumping worms again. I found an article from UCANR that has a thing about jumping worms, and they're suggesting that soil solarization could help. So if you get your soil temperature up to 104 degrees for 3 days, it's enough heat to kill the cocoons and the adults of those jumping worms. But if they could just migrate out into areas around that. So it'd probably be pretty tricky, but if you black tarp it on the really hot days and you try to get it over 104 degrees, you might be okay with getting rid of them that way. Okay. So anyways,
that's a good tip. Thank you for that.
Yeah, for sure. And then the screw worms, so they came up through Central America and they've been affecting the cattle industry primarily in Texas, where the USDA is putting a facility now to do some treatment for that. One of the ways that they had been managed historically in the past, since the 1960s, was through a program that released sterile males into the population. They would breed with the females, they would not have viable offspring, and that helped keep the population under control for a long time. And I think that they're going to have that sort of mode of action in Texas now with the new facility that they're building down there to try to do that same sort of thing. One of the issues with Texas not only is the cattle industry, but there's also a large animal they do like sport hunting there of like weird other animals that they breed that are cattle adjacent, and those hunting destination resort sort of things are also being impacted by that. But we don't necessarily see that in the economics because it's not like a thing that we eat. It's just a tourism kind of thing. Hopefully they don't come to California. Right now they're just in Texas. I don't think we've seen them here, so we're pretty fortunate in that. We also have some other practices that we engage in with cultivation here of our cattle that are different than Texas. And the thing that probably would be the best saving thing for us is that we have this Mediterranean climate where it's not favorable conditions for them to survive throughout the summer. With our lack of rain, they really require that higher humidity. So,
In places where they're prevalent, and if the animals already have them, I've told the only way you can get rid of them is you have to destroy the animal. Is that any? You have anything regardless, or I should say, alternative to that?
No. Once the animal has been infected, it's kind of a one-way trip. It would be really hard to get all of the larva out of said animal and make it safe for that animal to continue
living.
I see.
So it would be a concern for people who are cattle ranchers that are moving animals across state lines and things like that. There's got to be some screening that takes place. You know, if we're importing calves from a state that might have them, and there will be, I'm sure there's restrictions on the mobility of those creatures.
Yeah, and according to the video we saw on the YouTube when they talked about them, they said once they find them in a herd, they'll just go ahead and destroy the entire herd to keep the spread of these things from, you know, moving on.
Rather than screening, yeah.
Well, thanks for bringing it to our attention. It was good hearing from you.
All right, well, thanks for the info. We greatly appreciate you guys.
You bet, Lucas. Well, we didn't realize that this actually could impact our gardens.
Oh, sure.
Certainly this jumping worm.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything in Davis or Winters in that area about?
I have not seen them over there in that area. That doesn't mean that they aren't there. I don't know how many counties have been affected necessarily. I do know that it said in the thing that I had, that's the announcement from CDFA, that it's been in Napa since 2021, Sonoma since 2023, and they've found them since in Humboldt County as well. Okay. So probably there's some in Mendocino along the way there. But so they're here. It seems like in compost, they should die as long as your compost got hot enough, because it's going to exceed that 104 degree threshold. So that should probably be fine. But that would definitely be a thing where if you're noticing that it is a problem, finding time and space to be able to solarize your soil is a good idea.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. Do you have tomato plants growing in your property?
I do.
And?
And I picked a handful of Super Sweet 100s.
Yes, I did too. Uh-huh. But what about your full-size ones?
I do still have full-size tomatoes, but I'm starting to be hyper aware of any damage that might be caused by tomato hornworm. I started to see some rolling leaves.
So we should be on lookout for that too.
I think we should start looking out for that.
Yeah. As they started getting ripening, are we going to see this increase?
I think we will start to see it increase as they ripen, because the fragrance changes, and then that kind of draws in the adults to lay their eggs. But I often don't see them until they're already like almost as long as my pinky finger or something. There.
So if we see curled leaves when we're looking at our tomato plants, we should investigate.
Definitely investigate. Yeah.
And can we actually see them if we unroll them?
You can see them if you unroll them. They like to hide kind of along the midrib of that leaf, and they're striping. They're very good at being camouflaged in there. And I know that they turn into a cute-looking moth, and some people are like, oh, that's beautiful.
Okay, but, so be aware.
Yes, chickens love them.
We will see you in August, Dr. Spaeth.
You will.
Have a beautiful rest of July. Coming up next, Emily Ash Lamb in the KSRO Kitchen, the salute to blueberries, honoring International Blueberry Muffin Day. And also, we'll be talking to Anna Stockwell, the author of a terrific new book called The Butter Book.
After working in the construction industry for over 30 years with first-class designers, architects, and builders, founder Graham Robertson created his own company and launched Outlander Construction in 2017. From intricate restorations to high-end remodels, Outlander Construction will bring your ideas to life. In Pengrove, contact Graham Robertson at OutlanderBayArea.com or call 415-328-7891. 415-328-7891. OutlanderBayArea.com.
Bedrosian's time.